Before we turn to the Holy Scriptures, let us turn to God and ask that He will open our eyes to see wondrous things out of His law. Let us pray. Almighty God, who by Thy Holy Ghost hast inspired Thy Holy Scriptures for our enlightenment and edification, send upon us that same Spirit that our ears, eyes, and hearts might be illumined and open to Thy Holy Word. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us now turn to the first epistle of St. John, chapter 5, which can be found on page 1023 of your pew Bibles. 1 John, chapter 5, page 1023. And we will be reading the entire chapter. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tonight we will be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to speak about the subject of prayer. And once again, just like I said this morning, this is not a subject to which we come as strangers. I don't know how many sermons, if you were to add them up, we have all heard on the subject of prayer. And yet we find ourselves still in need of encouragement to pray. Now, this evening, I want to address one of the temptations that keeps us from praying as much as we should. There are many, because we still have sinful, deceitful hearts, and it is not a natural thing in us to desire to pray. This is something the Holy Spirit prompts us to do. But we have temptations and doubts, and these must be dealt with. And we're going to only deal with one of them tonight, and I'm going to put it in the form of a question, and then we're going to examine this question. My question for us tonight is this: does God really hear us when we pray? And if he does hear us, do our prayers really change anything? Don't tell me these questions have never occurred to you. And I will tell you, quite frankly, they have often occurred to me. It's part of walking by faith and not by sight, something which is a real warfare and struggle of the Christian life. And we're going to talk about this. You know, if we could be confident, think for a moment, if we could really be confident that the Lord really hears our prayers whenever we pray, and if we could really be confident that he answers our prayers, wouldn't we be more eager to pray? Wouldn't that be something that we were always looking for time to do? Wouldn't we pray more if we really believed he heard and answered our prayers? Now, the question then comes, is such confidence possible, or am I really just talking about something which would be nice, but we're not going to know what it's like? Is such confidence possible? Is such confidence realistic? Is such confidence practical? Let's think about it. This brings us to this evening's passage, 1 John 5:14 and 15, which says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Now, here we are told that as Christians, we are to have confidence when we pray. In fact, it doesn't even say we ought to have confidence. It says this is the confidence. In other words, when we pray, we have this confidence. If we don't, why pray? Now, when we look at this word confidence, this word, of course, is an English translation from the original Greek. And the Greek word translated confidence is sometimes translated boldness, and it has the idea of free and open speech, of talking to someone without feeling constrained or intimidated, or for some reason not able to express what's really on your heart. Confidence means that God is one whom you can come to and share it all. That's what it means. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Imagine praying to God with no doubt that God not only hears your prayers, but also listens attentively and responds to your prayers. And that's what the Bible says. Apart from the Bible, the Heidelberg Catechism perhaps puts it best in question 129 when it says that my prayer is much more certainly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. I've used the word imagine a lot tonight, and I'm going to use it again. Imagine. And this is true. This is not imaginary. I'm just saying, think on this. God pays closer attention to our prayers than we do. We are often careless in our prayers. And our prayers, of course, are to God like baby talk is to a loving mother. And yet God pays attention. God pays more attention to our prayers than we do. That's what the scripture, that's what the catechism says. And that is really what I want to express to you. You know, imagine, there's that word again. I don't mean to use that word all the time, but I can't really think of a synonym off the top of my head. But if we were to talk to the president, or if we were to talk to the governor, we would probably feel somewhat intimidated. We certainly wouldn't feel free just to talk to them and open our hearts and let it all gush out, would we? I don't think any of us would feel like that. I mean, we don't feel we can do that to each other always. And so I'm sure that if there were someone truly powerful here tonight, we'd be just a wee tad bashful, wouldn't we? We couldn't talk to these people comfortably like we are able to talk to each other. And as I said, we can't even talk to each other with that same freedom we should talk to God. But with the Lord, it is different. With the Lord, we can talk freely. Even when we talk with our loved ones, we cannot fully express what is in our hearts without any reservation whatsoever. But with God, we can tell God everything, leaving nothing out, knowing that He knows us inside and out. Also, of course, because God knows everything, nothing we confess as sin, nothing we discuss with Him will shock Him or cause Him to turn away. Have you ever thought of that? It's impossible to shock God. And God is never surprised. And the Lord knows our hearts, and while He is angry at sin, He is never disappointed in us because He knows who we are, He knows we're sinners, and we know that He knows the only time that we can please Him is when He sends His Holy Spirit to do His work of sanctification in our hearts. And therefore, there's no reason to run from God as Adam and Eve ran from God in the garden after they sinned. Theirs was a futile attempt to hide, and when we attempt to hide by just not praying, that's futile as well. And it's not only futile, it is, if I may use the word, stupid. Because God wants to hear our prayers. He commands us to pray. And He will hear and answer prayer. And with God there is forgiveness. Infinite forgiveness. And so we have to get this idea out of our mind that we have to be very cautious about praying to God because we know what we're really like. Well, God knows us better than we do. As a Christian, you can talk to God. You can tell Him everything in your own words. You do not need to have any reservations talking to Him. And you are not talking to yourself when you pray. You're not talking to yourself, you're talking to God. And this confidence that God hears is also mentioned, using that same word, in Ephesians 3, 11 and 12, where it says, according to the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. In other words, it was God's purpose from eternity that those He chose to save should have access to Him through their faith in Christ. God always intended that His people should be able to speak to Him freely. Therefore, through Christ, we have boldness and confidence to come before Him. If there is any problem, the problem is that we do not use this boldness and confidence which He says is ours. We choose rather simply to decline to use it. But God says it's there for every Christian because we have the Spirit of God in our heart that cries, Abba, Father. That cries out to God as our loving Father who hears and will answer His children. And therefore, we are encouraged to come to God freely. Now, in Hebrews 4:16, we have the same truth. That verse says, "Let us therefore come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We're told to come to God openly, freely, without reservation. And when we do, what do we find? This verse says we find grace and mercy just when we need it. But boy, are we stubborn. Yes, we are. Now, secondly, our passage mentions the relationship between God's will and prayer. We read in 1 John 5:14, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, this has been a stumbling block to some. Many have taken this verse to mean that if we happen to pray for what God has decided to do, then he hears our prayers. But this view turns prayer into a guessing game. If we guess right, then God will answer our prayers if we happen to guess what his will is. If we guess wrong and we pray for something that isn't his will, then God doesn't hear our prayers. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, first of all, I have to explain a little bit about God's will before I can get into what the scripture teaches. When we talk about God's will, we're speaking of two different things. We can divide God's will in two parts. First of all, we have God's revealed will. This refers to God's law, his commands, which tells us how he wills that we should live. And our prayers must be consistent with God's commands, or else they are sinful prayers. You can't ask the Lord's blessing just before you rob a bank. We have to pray according to God's revealed will. We can't pray for something that God has revealed as a sin. We need to remember that God's promises to answer prayer does not mean we have a blank check to ask for whatever we may wish from moment to moment. After all, as James writes in James 4, verse 3, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." How wonderful that God restricts the way he answers our prayer. If God indulged us by giving us our every desire, or if God answered prayers for something that was sinful, it would lead to every kind of sin. So we see that our prayers must be obedient to his commands, his revealed will. I remember when I was in high school, there was this girl in high school, and I prayed that I might be able to marry her, and the Lord did not answer that prayer, and boy, did I dodge a bullet. And maybe some of you have similar stories. In fact, this is such an obvious truth that even that country western singer, and I don't particularly care for country western, but Garth Brooks wrote a song called "Thank God for Unanswered Prayer." I don't know anything about Mr. Brooks' theology, but he nailed that one. And it's true. Sometimes the Lord graciously blesses us when we pray by not giving us what we ask for, but by giving us something different. Because some of the prayers we pray are very similar to the way that little children will ask their parents for things that they really shouldn't have. But the Lord is wise in answering prayer. It doesn't mean that he doesn't hear our prayer. It doesn't mean that he doesn't answer our prayer, but he answers our prayer right. So I prayed about this particular girl, and the Lord gave me someone else, and man alive, am I thankful to the Lord for that. And this is true in other areas of life as well. We've all prayed for things, and we look back and we think, man, if God had answered that prayer. You know, there's a cartoon my kids used to like growing up. Yeah, even Matthew liked this one. And it was called Aladdin. And the thing was, you got the genie out of the bottle and you could make a wish. And you got literally exactly what you asked for, and it never worked out right. God is no genie. God doesn't do that. He answers our prayers according to his holy, wise, and sovereign will. He does not answer us exactly the way we pray. What a disaster that would be. So that's God's revealed will. We pray to God But we are not to pray selfishly, because selfishness is a sin. We're not to pray for things that are against God's law, because that's his revealed will. We know what his will is. It's just that we don't want to obey it. But there's a second way that we talk about God's will, and this is what we call God's secret will. God's secret will is that which he decrees will actually happen. We call it God's secret will because none of us knows what God has decreed to happen tomorrow. I have a good idea of what I think the Lord is going to do tomorrow, but I could be all mistaken because it's hidden from me, and it's hidden from you. We don't know. So this is a different kind of will. We have his revealed will, which is his law, and his secret will hidden from us, which is what he actually will cause to happen. This is called his secret will simply because he hasn't chosen to show it to us. So, here's the question. Suppose we pray for something that is not God's will to perform. Suppose we pray for healing when it's not God's will, for instance. Does God actually change what he is going to do because of our prayers? This question comes about because we do not think as God thinks. How can God's will be settled, unchangeable in the heavens, and at the same time God assures us that he answers our prayer? Both of these things are true, but our minds cannot reconcile it. But that's okay. Both are taught in the scripture, and we trust that our Heavenly Father, we're confused, but he's not confused. Think of your children. How many things that you tell your children that they must do or that they must believe that make no sense to them, and yet you know it's right, and they have to accept it for no other reason than you told it to them. And therefore they need to trust you that you know more than they do. Well, we're God's children. And to tell the truth, we're kind of God's slow children, if you want to know the truth. Think of it. If God knows how this all works out, then we just believe what he says and trust him. There is no contradiction. It's just that our understanding is terribly limited. For instance, we believe that God chooses those whom he will save. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." God chooses who he will save. But at the same time, Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 5, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So we are saved. Is it because God chose us? Or because we repented? Well, both are true. God chose us, but we are responsible to repent and believe. How can we make these two coincide exactly? I don't know. But they're both in the Bible. Sometimes when I talk to Christian friends who are not Reformed, and therefore they don't believe in election, but they believe in free will, I ask them, well, if you believe in free will, why do you pray that God will save your loved ones? You're not really asking that God will do something against their will, are you? Well, it's a good question to ask. And the wonderful thing is that even those who don't understand doctrine, the Lord gives them an impetus to pray for that which is right anyway. And thus, people who believe in free will also wonderfully will pray against what they say they believe, because God moves in their heart to pray for the salvation of souls. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? They probably have no idea how these things can all be true if they ever even think of it, and neither do we. But God knows, and God understands. And it's the same way here. God's will cannot be changed. Psalm 33, verse 11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. But on the other hand, God promises in Isaiah 65, verse 24, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." Now, there are various good answers to this problem, but if I may say with all humility, I think I can give you the best answer to that problem right now. I think I can explain to you how it can be that God's will is established forever in the heavens, but we must pray. Here's the answer. It's because God commands us to do this. Were you expecting something more profound than that? That's the answer right there. God commands us to do it, and therefore we're to do it. No mind games. No trying to figure things out. No overthinking it. God commands us to pray to Him, and therefore we must obey and pray to God. So what if we can't figure out how it's all going to work out? God commands us to pray, and therefore it is a sin if we do not pray. It's a sin if we don't bring God all our worries, all our concerns, casting all our care upon Him because He cares for us. We're commanded to do this. How this all works out logically, let's leave this to God. God is the fount of all wisdom. We are not the fount of all wisdom. Listen to these commands. Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Or how about this command? Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And then there is a simple command of 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, "Pray without ceasing." Do I have to go on? God commands us to bring our concerns to Him in prayer. We don't have to figure out how prayer works. All we have to do is obey God. It's that simple, really. Now, it is also true that God not only commands us to pray, He also promises to answer our prayers. There's so many promises of Scripture that He hears and answers prayer. Matthew 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Then there's Matthew 21, verse 22, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." James 5, 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And I could go on and on again. We are not to spend time wondering if God will answer our prayers. We need not be afraid to pray because we might pray for the wrong thing. We often do that, we just don't know it. God promises to answer our prayers, and that's enough for us. God knows how to answer our prayers. How He answers them is not something we are to worry about. When your children sit down at the dining room table for dinner, they don't worry about how mom cooked it in the kitchen. They don't give it a thought. It's on their plate, and their duty is to eat it, not to worry about how it was made. And sometimes we want to know the internal counsel of God. We want to know the mind of God in a way that no creature in this life can do. It's enough for us. The promises are there. He'll answer our prayers. Case closed. End of story. We have God's command to pray and His promises to answer prayer. What more encouragement do we need? If we cannot understand how prayer works, let us be content with the fact that God has assured us that it will work. But let me give you, perhaps, I think, one of the best examples in the Bible. And that's the prophet Elijah. And I'm reading from I will be reading from 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 45. The prophet Elijah once issued a challenge to the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. After Elijah won this challenge, and I'm assuming you know the Bible story. If you don't, you can find it in 1 Kings 18. But after Elijah won the challenge, great victory, killed the evil priests, He told King Ahab, that wicked man, that the long-standing drought that God had sent was about to end in a huge rainstorm, and he'd better get out of there fast. We read in 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 45, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed himself on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again.' Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.' So he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel." Elijah knew it was about to rain. He said, "There is the sound of abundance of rain." So it was clear that it was God's will for it to rain. And yet, what did Elijah do? He prayed hard with his head between his knees. That's interesting, isn't it? What does all this come down to? That we're commanded to pray to the Lord confident that when we come to Him, we can speak freely and He will hear and answer our prayers. We're not to torment ourselves with doubts as to whether we know what it is God's will to do or how a sovereign God can hear and answer prayer. It's for us to obey God and pray. And pray in confidence. Now, third, we see in our passage that God hears the prayers of believers. Our passage says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." There are so many reasons why we are tempted to believe God does not hear our prayers. One reason is a sense of our own sinfulness. How can God hear the prayers of sinners? Now, we do read in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." The answer in this case, of course, is to repent of your sin and ask God for forgiveness for the sake of Christ. And then, of course, the Lord will hear your prayers. Sometimes, however, we may have repented of our sins, and because our sins we conceive of as being that bad, although we've repented, we feel guilty and still doubt that God hears our prayers because we're unworthy. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, I have. Well, of course we're not worthy. I tell you, the problem is try to pray when you feel worthy. And that won't work because you'll be guilty of the sin of pride. We're not worthy. Can you imagine anything as stupid as to wait until we feel we are good enough before we pray? And what kind of a proud person will finally feel he's good enough to pray? Suppose you finally feel good enough to pray to God. What a proud attitude that would be. What breathtaking arrogance that would be. Finally, I feel good enough to pray. Anyone who prays with that kind of self-confidence certainly will not be heard of God. After all, why does God hear a Christian's prayer? Certainly not because of His goodness. The truth is, God hears a Christian's prayers for the same reason He forgives him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Question 117 of the Catechism says that God will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. That is why Jesus said in John 14, verses 13 and 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." We do not pray in our own name or by our own merits. It is Christ who has made both forgiveness and prayer possible. Remember when the sinful tax collector and the Pharisee went to the temple to pray in the Lord's parable? We read what the tax collector prayed and the Lord's answer in Luke 18, verse 13. It says, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Therefore, if your problem tonight is guilt, if your problem is, how can God hear someone as unworthy as me? Pray. Your feelings may rebel against you praying. You may not have that sense that your prayer gets any further than the ceiling. But if you pray, believing, even against the evidence of your emotions, that God has forgiven your sins in Christ and commands you to pray, then whatever you may feel, pray. Not because your feelings say that God hears, not because you feel encouraged and not discouraged. Pray because God tells you to. And the Lord will hear, and the Lord will answer. Other times, we do not believe God hears our prayers because we see no sign of God's help, just terrible problems, and we wonder if God has forgotten us. The truth is that faith requires that we trust God's promises even when we do not see any visible sign that He is doing anything. But that's just the point. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Faith believes what cannot be seen. Faith believes what cannot be proven to exist. That's why we call it faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The greatness of our trials do not indicate that God no longer hears or loves His people." No. The greatness of our trials do not indicate that God no longer hears or loves them at all. In fact, Paul goes so far as to declare in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing separates us from the love of God, and therefore sometimes it appears that God is not moving, that God is nowhere around. The heavens appear as brass and our prayers do not ascend to His throne, or so we think. But the Lord hears, and the Lord in His time will answer. The problem is we're impatient. God wants us to persevere in prayer, to keep on praying. We want instant answers to our prayer now. As if prayer is some kind of spiritual microwave oven. We want our answers immediately. We don't want to wait. Lastly, one last question. Does God really answer our prayers? Right now. Right now is God answering our prayers. Did God hear the prayer we said a few minutes ago? Well, I guess it's more than a few minutes ago. But did God hear that prayer? And you, when you pray, is God answering your prayers right now, even as we speak? That's a good question. Well, our passage says that if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have. Not shall have, but we have the petitions we have asked of Him. Do we have answers to prayer now, even when we see nothing change? And the answer is yes. After all, the Bible says that Christians already possess eternal life. We're told in 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. We have eternal life, but we do not have the full experience of eternal life now. But God says we have it now, and we will experience it in all its fullness in the future. But the fact we do not see what it is like to have eternal life as we will have it in glory doesn't mean we don't have it. It simply means that God has yet to allow us to experience it. But it is ours, and it is ours now. And in the same way, God says we have the answers to our prayers now, but the time may not have come for us to experience them. I'll tell you, here's a verse. I've never memorized this one. I think I should. I think you should too. It's Habakkuk 2 verse 3, where God declares, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God says, wait for God's appointed time. God says it will surely come. Thus, we must not be impatient or believe that because we do not have instant answers to prayer, this means the Lord does not hear. It doesn't mean that we lack answers to prayer right now. God is answering our prayers right now. We have the answers to our prayer right now, but we will only experience these answers at the time of God's choosing. Now, we see the same thing in Romans 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do... Let me start again. I wrong-footed myself. Romans 8, 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In other words, we're to exercise faith that God most certainly is answering our prayers. But that time has not yet come for us to see the answers. As we are told in Luke 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep praying. The answer may be on the horizon, no bigger than a man's hand, but it's coming our way, and it won't be stopped. But we have to be patient, and we have to keep praying. So, does God really answer our prayers? Not always in the ways we want, not always in the time we want. But the prayers of God's people are not ignored. Thus, let us continue to pray, believing that we have the requests that we ask of God. We have the requests that we ask of God. Let our faith not waver. In the words of Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. When we get home tonight, let's let the promises of God make a difference in how we pray. And we'll have our answers, and when they come, how wonderful that will be. We'll have those things to give thanks to God for, but we can thank Him now that He is hearing and answering our prayers. Amen. And now let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we pray to Thee tonight, we believe that Thou dost hear our prayers, and although they are imperfect and defiled by sin, for the sake of Christ our Lord, Thou dost pay closer attention to them than we do. And so, Father, what we come and pray for tonight, that we know is according to Thy will, is that Thou wouldst strengthen our faith when it comes to our prayers, that Thou wouldst give us that divine urge to pray, that Thou wouldst help us to open our hearts without reservation to Thee and pour it all out. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost hear and that Thou dost listen, and that even the requests we have made in prayer tonight as a congregation, we already have the answer to these prayers. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. These things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.